In the name of Emmanuel, God who comes among us. Amen. Please be seated. It is so good to both see you and hear you. You are sounding fantastic. There's nothing like good Christmas carols to make a congregation sing so well, and you sound so good. Before I go into my sermon, I wanted to share something that happened in our Sunday morning forum. We were listening to Amy Jill Levine, who's a professor at Vanderbilt University, and she told us something about the manger that I never knew before. Whenever I meet with little children to prepare them for communion, I always say, "Will you make a manger with your hands, so that when you go to receive communion, Jesus can be placed in your hands and you can care for Jesus?" But Amy Jill said, you know, that manger in which Jesus was placed was a feeding trough for the animals. And any of you who studied high school French or anywhere along the way know that manger is manger. Manger, to eat, to be fed. Bethlehem means house of bread. Christ is born, the house of bread, to feed the world on what the world needs so very much, that Prince of Peace. So today, when you come up to receive communion, make that manger for Jesus. Let him come into your heart, into your life, so that he may feed this world. Well, there. Now you already have the sermon. I should say amen, sit down, and be done. I can't. It was summer 1899. In those darkest hours, just before dawn, he peered through the bars in the window of his asylum, where he was both patient and prisoner, the asylum of Saint-Remy en Provence. He sat down at his little desk in his room to write a letter to his brother Theo, describing the magnificence of the morning stars. He wanted to paint them, but he was not allowed to have paint or brushes in that cell-like room. And so he would have to hold on to this moment in his heart, in his mind, and one day, he would paint it from memory. Starry Night is often called the greatest painting of Vincent van Gogh. Yet let's not miss the story here. Van Gogh was in southern France because he was unappreciated back home in the Netherlands. He was unable to sell any of his paintings there. He was living on the cusp of poverty, and it had gotten deep into his psyche. He was severely, severely depressed. He was a troubled man in troubled times. These were the darkest days. The darkest days of his life. What is there that's so special about gathering on a dark night in churches around the globe? Down through the centuries, the way communities of faith have done for these thousands of years now. Maybe part of it has to do with something Barbara Brown Taylor writes in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. Taylor says that we have a tendency to associate all that is good with lightness and all that is evil and dangerous with darkness. But she asks, doesn't God work in the nighttime as well? And she invites us to put aside our fears and our anxieties and explore all that God has to teach us in the dark. She invites us to move from our solar spirituality to our lunar spirituality, since, like the moon, our experience of the light waxes and wanes throughout our lifetime. All is not always sunny. All is not always calm and bright. Sometimes we live our lives in the shadows. sometimes in the deep darkness, sometimes in despair, and it is often in the darkness that we find courage. That we understand the world in new ways. That we feel God is present with us, guiding us through things both seen and unseen. Often it is in the dark times of our lives that God comes to help us find our footing in all of the midst of uncertainty and give us strength to face the challenges. And so on June 6th, Van Gogh wrote his sister Wilhelmina, and he said, "It often seems to me that the night is even more richly colored than the day." We usually talk about the single star that led those wise men to the place of Jesus' birth, but Van Gogh depicted not just a single star, but an entire sky full of blazing light, bursting forth in all of that darkness, as is displayed on your bulletin this evening. In his painting, that light is shining not just on some actual village, but on an idealized village, a place that might be, if life were ever to become all that it could be. In his sickness, Van Gogh painted something of hope. Christmas is when we dare to imagine how this world might be if we truly receive the light that comes in our darkness. This world continues to be a place of horrible divisions, don't we know it? Even among families, even among nations, war, poverty, sickness, starvation, greed, pride, they surround us all the time, like the darkness in that village in the painting. But the light has to become personal. We have to claim it for ourselves, and we have to become it ourselves. A few summers ago, my wife Linda and I stood on the spot where Van Gogh painted Starry Night. We stopped for a moment to pray for this world in all of its divisions and all of its suffering. And we gave thanks for the light we know came into this world not just long ago in Bethlehem, but even to a disturbed man in 1899, and still comes to us in 2019. My prayer is that whenever we go out into the night, whenever we are in the dark moments of our own lives, we'll remember that it is in the darkness that we can see the stars most clearly, and it will remind us that we are not alone. The light that lightens all people still comes to you and me into this hurting world, and that idealized village is wherever we receive the light and take on the good work of making the villages where we live and work not just an idea of what is good, but a reality. Starry nights are God's love shining in the darkness, this night and always. A very blessed Christmas to you all, and to this world, that it may be filled both with God's stars, God's night, and God's light. Amen.